always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
But yeah, like, I think, like, he tried to say that, like, because the Lakers can't build through the draft, that they have to, you know, kind of thread that needle of sustained excellence, right? That's what makes his specific job so difficult. And that does require, right, hashtag optionality. But as far as, like, this summer goes, he has to cash in a lot of chips, and he has to do so productively. He has, like, there are a lot of promises that are going into this upcoming summer. Like, really, when you think about it, Harrison, I think LeBron's back. So I think I'm not going to write his name in pen, but I do have his name, like, erasable, but dark enough that you can definitely read it on the roster for next year. Obviously, Luka's back. Obviously, I do have Austin's name written in pen on the roster for next season. I also think DeAndre Ayton is going to be on the team, because I don't think he is going to opt out of the $8.4 million that he is going to make next year. He's not getting that much, let alone more or for longer term than next year. So I think he opts in. I think Jackson is probably back at the minimum, right? He's now a Slovenian citizen or has citizenship. I don't think you do that if you are going to be playing on a non-Luka team. Let's see.
You think
beyond
he's
that,
go play for Slovenia this summer with, like, a bunch of guys he's never met without Luka?
Oh my God, that's such a great question. I need to go through the likes on Instagram and see if Jackson is one of them.
Luca like invited his Hinge date to a party and then said, "Hey, by the way, I'm not going to make it."
I'm like, Luca, because he put on Instagram, he's like, he explained why he's not playing for Slovenia, and it has, like, however many thousands of likes on there, right? And he's talking about his daughters. I want to know if Jackson is one of those likes, and if he, like, if he's just like, "Wait, what? You're not? You're."
He's like, "Wait, so you're going to be using the house? I can't stay there." Okay.
But yeah, like, I think, you know, so in order to somehow, some way get to OKC's level, right? I think you need to upgrade from Marcus Smart in the starting lineup. I'm not saying outright replace him. I would like to see Marcus off of the bench next year.
I would actually be very disappointed if they did not find a way to keep Marcus.
Yeah. On separate occasions during yesterday's presser, Luke was mentioned without being asked about. That would kind of indicate to me that they are trying to find a way to bring him back. So I think we could probably write his name at least in pencil.
I took that more as like, "Hey, we didn't do nothing. Hey, remember that guy that we traded for that was really good?"
Yeah, it's also fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like JJ mentioned.
No,
it,
I think you're probably a little bit. Yeah, I think you're probably a little bit right. Like, that's indicative of them valuing him.
But they I think they want to bring back Rui. I think so long as Genie is calling the shots, I think Rui will always have a spot on the Lakers, and he deserved it. Like, he played really, really well in the playoffs and has done so for the entirety of his time.
He's arguably their best player in game four.
Yeah, it was. And even last year against Minnesota in game five, right? That was getting ready to become like a 40-point blowout, and he had that left-handed dunk that kind of woke everybody up. So I think Rui is probably back. And we'll see what that number looks like. But if Rui is back, and if just in terms of, like, order of operations here, first and foremost, they need a decision from LeBron. The rest of the offseason can't be decided until they get a decision from LeBron.
You did say that, but I think that one element of that is, like, the offseason may decide for LeBron. You know, I also don't think that they're going to delay forever if he is like, if they have stuff that they can verbally agree to on the table. It may become like an order of operations thing where, like, yeah, he'll have to sign before they can do those moves, but he'll be sort of boxed into, like, here's the maximum that you're going to be able to get with the other moves that we've committed to. And so either you're going to take that or you're not.
Yeah, how I kind of think it's going to play out is like, and I think Dave kind of wrote about this in the article where, like, if he takes a discount, I'm paraphrasing. I don't have time to scroll down and find it. But Dave kind of alluded to if LeBron takes a discount, he would have to have it explained to him how that money is getting put to use, right? And like that's
bring on me LeBron's receipts, terms. Rob.
Right, but
Rob's I think filing also an expense though, report on the Lakers player development app, sending it to LeBron.
Like LeBron's giving them a per diem. But like if they that's viewing the world through LeBron's prism. I actually think the way that this maybe should be looked at through is through the Lakers prism of, because I could see them honestly renouncing his rights because they can't.
That's what they ultimately have to do to get some of the moves across the finish line. Like, if they have a trade lined up, like, I'm just making this up, but, like, let's say for Giannis, where a big part of it is being able to absorb salary, like, they will just renounce his rights, I think.
Well, like, for example, with Austin, that can be one of the last things that they do, because his cap hold is for, his cap hold is probably for anywhere, like, it's for $21 million for this upcoming season, and he's going to sign for anywhere from 30 to 47.3, I think is the max that he can sign for. So because Austin would be signing for at a number higher than his cap hold, you're actually using those bird rights, and it makes sense to hold off on doing whatever you're going to do with Austin till like the end of the rest of the things that you need to get done. But whereas with LeBron, because he's going to be signing for a number lower than his cap hold, the bird rights don't really matter, because bird rights just allow you to go over the cap to sign somebody. It doesn't matter if the point is to have cap space, you're going to need to make that decision on LeBron sooner rather than later, because renouncing those free agent rights, that opens up the cap space that the Lakers are looking to put to use. So I think LeBron's decision is going to have to come relatively quickly. Rui is another guy who I think we're going to know about relatively quickly, because his cap hold, I believe, is, I think he made $18 million last year. So that means his cap hold is for $27 million. And I think he's going to sign for less than his cap hold. So I think they would need to make a decision on Rui relatively quickly. Same goes for Kennard and Marcus. After Kennard opts out after Marcus opts out and Kennard becomes a free agent, I think we'll know relatively quickly what's happening with those guys. But outside of that, like, they still need an upgrade at center, they still need they need enough talent to basically slot a lot of their guys down a roster spot or two, right? So like last year you had Jake play 82 games and play like 20 minutes a night in those games. Unless he improves a lot, that minute total needs to go from like 20 plus to like 15 to 20, I would probably say. Marcus Smart, right, in the playoffs was playing like 36 minutes a night. He needs to be slotted down a spot or two so that he's playing, 25 to 30 minutes a night. And again, like, we'll see, what kind of shape Luka is in going into next season. But I bet they would like to kind of manage his minutes a little bit, too, so that you don't get to the end of the season and he pulls a hammy that knocks him out of the playoffs all over again. So, the way that JJ and Rob were kind of talking about, optionality yesterday, I thought that was kind of my biggest takeaway, is like, optionality is no longer kind of the goal. It's the tool. And we need to see how they're actually going to put that to use.
The optionality is here. It's no longer like, hey, we can't do this because we need the future optionality. It's like, no. The optionality is here now. You need to use it or you're going to lose it and you're going to waste it. And you're going to have not just wasted those like just this summer, but you'll have wasted all the other times where you didn't do things trying to set up this summer.
Did you catch him? He was talking about the draft, and he was talking about how they're looking forward to, you know, they're going to bring 20-ish guys in for workouts and for conversations and interviews and stuff like that. You know, and that is like, that's just standard practices yeah. for the draft. But he did use the phrase like, you know, he did talk about it as if they were getting ready to use that pick on a player this year. Now that is often, you know, what execs will do so that they don't like give away leverage in a potential trade, yeah. you know, and lessen the value of that draft pick. But what did you make of the way that he was talking about the draft process and that being something he's really looking forward to this year?
Yeah, I didn't take too much from it beyond just that, you know, sort of the same thing that you said is like, that's sort of what you have to say, whether you believe it or not. Like, I don't really know. But he would be, you know, I don't think Rob is dumb. And he would be dumb if he was going like, you know, obviously we're not going to use this pick. We're going to trade it for an upgrade. We got Luka on the roster. And it's like, yeah. okay, you just devalued your own money in your hand. Like if you said, if you were walking around with $5 and you're like, I need to give this to someone in 5 minutes, you know, like people probably aren't yeah. going to trade you as much for it. You know, they're just going to take their chances on you giving it away to them for nothing. And yeah. I think that, you know, I think that's sort of what you have to say when you have a draft pick. Like nobody talks really any differently.
Did you want to address like the Barstool thing? We did get a super comment, so we'll answer that as well. But oh, I also have a couple of super comments from last show that I told you guys I was going to answer. Let's just do that then. I don't want to talk about Barstool. So let me bring these up to the screen and let's see. So do that. And then go, I should have done this before the show and forgot.
There's a sound effect you got to play. We can't do a super comment without.
Well, all right. So first we got to, all right. So first we'll play the sound effect that we have to play, which is. Fuck Washington! Or also, I think this probably would have been a better one for today.
What the fuck?
All right, so the super it's a tough show for Harrison not to be able to laugh without coughing. all right, the first one, this is from yesterday or yesterday's show. Justin Tindall wrote in DA Jake and Vando make $26 million in salary next season. He had sent before that, I have zero confidence in Pelinka. We'll use cap space for Braun. And Rui will use pick 25 to improve. He never admits that his rosters aren't good. The given that the Lakers are kind of up against it cap wise, I really think it becomes critical that you combine Dalton and Jake and Vando and a pick to go out and get one of the upgrades that you really, really need to make this year. To what extent you can upgrade while sending out Vando's perpetual contract is obviously
Anthony, it's over debate. In 2037. Don't worry about it. It's not that long, okay? It's
I was looking the other day.
It's at 7 years Harrison. Away from being 7 years away from being an expiring salary.
The way that the contract is phrased, it's crazy. Either Rob has to have a grandchild that he names Jared, or that contract just keeps running. So, like, we're just...
Pressure's on Rob's oldest son.
Like, let's get a move on, kid. But yeah, like, I honestly think this is one of those things that the Lakers... like really need to prioritize is I like Vando. I thought it was incredible that he tried to play despite having a bone sticking out of his hand, like a game or two before. JJ
saying that he's never taken a left hand. He's never taken a right-handed shot in his life. So don't worry about it. Was like one of the funniest moments of the season. It's like, okay, tell us how you really feel, JJ. Like you're joking, but like kind of also like, you're like, this is why this guy's not playing.
Right. Well, they asked Vando in exit interviews, like, how his relationship is with JJ. If you have to ask that question, like, that's the story, not the response that, Vando yeah. gives. So I think Vando has to be moved this summer. And I like, look, I like Jake. I thought his ability to play in 82 games this season was really important.
Regular season player.
Yeah. But also him developing the yips to the extent that he did in the postseason. You know, I know that it's only $6 million and you would like to have a cost control player like that on your roster, but he's probably of those three guys, Dalton, Jake, and Vando, he's probably the only guy that some team would be like excited to acquire, you know, because of the contract, yeah. because of his availability, because of his age and position he plays. So he kind of sort of has to be in that trade, as well as that, that number one, if not two number one, or first round picks, that could otherwise go out. The other thing too, from this season that I wanted to ask you, maybe this is a different episode, of its own, but did the OKC series make you more interested in a Giannis trade?
That's an interesting question. You know, I hadn't really thought about it through that lens. I've just still been very like Giannis skeptical, just because I'm very skeptical of the fit.
He's
of him
so
and Luka.
Annoying. Yeah. Well, that too. But
can you imagine that
welcome,
conference yesterday?
Welcome to LA, Giannis.
You, Rob's just like, he's like, you know, I was talking to Giannis yesterday, and he was just telling me about how, you know, there's no such thing as failure in sports. There's not. You think about it, you know, we're all making millions of dollars.
It's Giannis and Rob press conferences are gonna fucking kill me. Like,
they would either be like best friends or they're gonna hate each other in like 2 weeks. You know, God, I feel so like fake. They would actually get along really well.
I think so. But yeah. not like each other. No, I think they would get along really well, but not actually like each other.
Giannis is like, his analogies aren't as good as mine.
All right. So the question that we have, well, let's save that for a different episode and kind of discuss the Giannis thing yeah. separate of that. But let's run UNLV writes. The Lakers are at least 6 to 7 players away from contention. With no real way to fix it, LeBron and LA aren't good for each other if the goal is chips. Lakers need to accumulate assets. Run LeBron. I can't necessarily fully disagree with that. But the thing that I do keep coming back to is like, if LeBron leaves, he's gonna go to a Cleveland situation that like they clearly need to cut costs. And he would be making, unless it's like a Jared Allen sign and trade, which I think they would still need to do some work.
They would have to cut costs before doing that deal to be allowed to do it.
Right. So like, I guess that, you know, that would help both sides. You know, LeBron gets to make what Jared Allen is making this year, and the Lakers get a center out of it. Like if LeBron is going to leave, then that's probably best case scenario of his departure. But like, we'll see how open to that Cleveland is. Like, I thought it was really noteworthy last year, when there were like the rumors, are the Lakers going to trade LeBron? He just opted in and he sent that message to the front office by way of Rich Paul. And all of the teams, you know, it was like Cleveland and Dallas and Golden State. And it was like, yeah, we're interested in LeBron as a free agent, and this would be different from that. But like, regardless, wherever LeBron goes, like if he's going to go to Golden State, they've been hyperventilating about Giannis for like 7 years.
Yeah.
You know, and he's sick of the nepotism that has run rampant through the Lakers while he has been a Laker. Go look at like, just Google Kirk Lacob. How do you think Mike Dunleavy Jr. got his current job? Like, it's just, I don't know. I don't think the Warriors are like a significantly better spot than the Lakers would be. It would be new yeah. and there'd be novelty to it. And I think you would probably enjoy playing with Steph, and maybe that's enough, but he's going to be making the mid-level there if he goes yeah. there.
and he'll be playing on a full UNC team and maybe not enjoy that as much.
He's done it before and it did not go well. So my guess would be that maybe he's learned the value of youth on athleticism, but you know, who knows?
Let's see. The Wannabe GM's podcast writing, trading for Turner using cap space is a move. In my opinion, Bucks shed money and the Lakers can get him for cheap since it's a bad deal and could even drop Vando and save more money. Turner was terrible last year.
Yeah. Like, well, that's why you can probably get him for free. I mean, there, that was one of the other things from the press conference yesterday was that that was the first time that I've heard Rob mention on the record. I mean, I know that this has been something that the Lakers have been talking about, like as they play their parlor games of like, we're going to be the only team with cap space and maybe we can get good players for free. But Rob sort of like acknowledged that, that, you know, it's not just free agency where you can use the cap space. There will be opportunities to absorb guys who are maybe better than what they're being offered for because their teams need to shed their contracts for whatever reason. Cam Johnson with the Nuggets is another one that comes to mind, where like, if they want to keep Peyton Watson, they're probably going to have to dump Cam Johnson somewhere to save some money.
Christian Brown.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, like that's been the Lakers, you know, that's been Pete's argument going back to last year about like the Giannis trade and why the Lakers have a more appealing package is like they can take on a bunch of your bad contracts if they want to in exchange for, you know, like taking the good player.
Yeah, I mean, like the Giannis thing is slightly different, I think, because they could just trade you back a big salary exception, and they would then be able to use that to, you know, take on picks and stuff from teams that have bad contracts on their books. But like, yeah, my thing is, because like there's the team that I keep looking at is like OKC or even like Orlando, and typically the players that get sent out, I guess you mentioned Denver, that's a good example too, but the players that like, and let's actually just keep it Denver and OKC. If you're Denver and you're OKC and the Lakers, who now employ Luka Doncic, are looking at you as a possibility to bring on talent for nothing, like game that one out. They aren't sending Isaiah Hartenstein to the Lakers. Like that's, I just don't see that happening. I don't see the Denver Nuggets sending Christian Brown to the Lakers or Cam Johnson.
I think that, I think they might do that now because he might be bad. So they're like here. Oh no, don't take our white boy. No, please don't. And then
Well, he's also talking about himself as like a vocal leader. So maybe they're just like, okay, that's enough. Go to the Lakers.
See, I still think that that's fake to me. Like I haven't seen the clip of him saying that. To me, that's fake. Somebody made that up and it went viral. And like,
yeah.
That's not real.
<He's> like, that was had to be AI.
It's like when Warriors fans are like, Pod said he's going to be better than Curry. And I'm like, I just feel like there's no way he said that. I'm not going to bother to look it up, but like, I'm just choosing to believe that this is not true.
There's just no way. All right. Harrison, anything that you want to plug before we get you out of here?
You know, just continue to follow SB Nation throughout for coverage of the playoffs. You know, we do have many team sites that are still alive. Silver Screen Roll, obviously, is no longer one of them. But also want to give a shout out to Edwin Garcia and Raj Tapalu for like the work that they did on the beat and on this pod this year. In Edwin's case, he made a debut, I know, like last week and filling in for me. And so, it's been fun to watch of those two guys sort of like grow and climb the ranks of media and get like very deserved flowers.
I told Edwin afterward to hit me up this summer because I want to feature him more on the show. He was excellent when he came on the show before.
He's really, really insightful. And it's like, I feel like
works his ass
people
off.
Don't. Yeah. Yeah. He works really hard and people don't always know, like there's a lot of people who don't know how many things he's at. And like, he is definitely somebody that's worth following because of like all the information and things that he's around for.
Yep.
And have like great insight on the team.
Absolutely. All right.
Well, that is, whatever. He's like overrated fraud.
His salary, his cap hold's too expensive now.
Yeah,
he asked me the other day.
Like, evaluate Rajan about, you know, if you're just evaluating some other 5'10", 250 pounds of pure muscle podcaster.
I mean, we have to take into account, like, he asked me to bring on his brother on the show too. And it's like, that Raj, it's too much, man. I don't even know if Raj has a brother.
Evaluate him in a vacuum. Imagine his name wasn't Raj Chapalu. It's just, you know, it's just Podcaster X.
Yeah. Imagine he wasn't Raj Chapalu, who gets shout outs from Brian Windhorst.
All these guys that, like, Windy props up for their whole careers, you know, it's just like none of them are that great. LeBron, Raj, it's just like, it's all the same.
Exactly. All right. That is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge podcast. I'm just kidding, Raj. We love you. Well, I do. Harrison's been like, Raj knows this whole time. But yeah, have a great rest of your days. Make somebody else's. We have, I think, Jovan Buha lined up for tomorrow, and then I'm probably going to take Friday off. So until then, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow.